Welcome to the Living a Naturally Healthy Life podcast with Delaine ND, the podcast for people looking to correct chronic illnesses such as diabetes through lifestyle change. I'm Dr. Delaine Vaughn. As a physician, I see many patients who are ill because of lifestyle decisions such as food choices. Typically, diseases such as diabetes are managed with pills or injections. This approach creates a vicious, expensive, and unhealthy cycle of medication and then more medication to address the negative side effects. As a physician and a life coach, I work with clients to resolve their diseases, get off their medications, and live a naturally healthy life. If you don't like the healthcare system in America, I recommend you use less of it by being naturally healthy. So if you feel there has to be a better, more natural way to live a healthy life, you are in the right place.
Hello, and welcome back to the Living a Naturally Healthy Life with Delaine MD podcast. I'm Dr. Delaine Vaughn, host of the podcast. I hope everybody is doing well. I have to tell you guys, it is a gross day in Wichita. It is this really slushy, wet snow. And on top of it, I have been dealing with some stomach bug for the last about 36 hours. I really want to drink tons of water, but when I do, I feel very sick. So I'm not doing that, but I want to get this podcast recorded for everybody. You know, I'm very committed to getting this information out. So I'm here recording. If I don't seem like my typical chipper self, it's probably because part of me wants to puke a little bit. So bear with me. So today I want to talk to you about feelings. I've been seeing this come up quite a bit lately with my clients, and certainly I have done my own work on this. I want to talk to you about what I mean by feelings, talk about feelings, why they're important, where they come from, what they do, and how you can do it differently if it's not working for you. I've certainly struggled a lot with this in my past, but when I really started to understand the true nature of feelings, it really opened up the world to me. It kind of blew the doors off my world. And I want this for you as well, so we're going to go through it today. So why is it important to dig deep into your feelings? I used to hate to deal with feelings, and still to this day, there's some of me that really struggles with this. The really heavy feelings, I'm like, no, not going to do it. Let's go ahead and stick that on down, push it on down. I had a coach actually that told me, she used to laugh at me. She'd be like, nope, we're coaching here. We don't deal with any feelings. There'll be no crying. There'll be no tears, none of that stuff. We don't deal with feelings. This is coaching. There's no crying in coaching, just like Tom Hanks in A League of Their Own. So once I realized the importance of dealing with my feelings, though, and when I kept seeing it come up for me in all sorts of areas of my life, that's when I realized that I really need to start getting on it. I thought it was going to be this really challenging, hard to deal with, long drawn out, tearful, horrible experience. But in the end, it's really so simple. So first, I want you to realize feelings are patient little things. They will wait around and wait around until you're ready to deal with them. Frequently, while they're waiting, they are wreaking havoc in other parts of your life. Sometimes this looks like stomach problems, like constant stomach aches, nausea, diarrhea, all this stuff. Sometimes it looks like headaches. Sometimes it even looks like anxiety or depression. I know. People are like, no, my stomach does not hurt because of what's going on in my head. That's ridiculous. Like our heads and our bodies are totally separated. Like there's not this huge, thick, important thing we call the neck that connects the two. Like they're totally different. They can't be connected at all. I'm here to tell you they're totally connected, friends. What goes on in your brain totally affects what goes on in the rest of your body. And in case there's still some of you out there that aren't believing me, I want you to recognize when you get nervous about public speaking and you feel nauseous, jittery, or butterflies in your stomach, there is absolutely nothing going on in your stomach. That is all caused from your brain. So don't be fooled to thinking that these two things are separate. And just because you're not dealing with your feelings and you're not addressing them does not mean that that's what's causing your stomach pain. My friend, that definitely could be what's causing your stomach issues. Certainly it's what's causing your headaches. Certainly it's what's causing anxiety. I actually heard a very wise soul say to me once, anxiety is just those feelings that you've suppressed and pushed down, wanting to get up and be felt. Because that's really all your feelings want. They want to get felt. They want to get your attention long enough so that they can be processed and heard. And when it's all done, they can be released. But for some of us, we aren't done with that. We want to avoid it. We think that we might actually die just from feeling that. That the discomfort, the emotional pain that might go with that is more than we can handle. So we push it away, we stuff it down, and we don't want to deal with it unless they're really bad and we absolutely have to. So this is why we avoid feelings. We think that they're just going to be too heavy. And when you actually start processing them and doing this work, you find out that's totally not the case. So the second reason that feelings are so important is that understanding that all of your actions, everything you do, is the result of the feelings you're having. And this is the most liberating thing ever. Just dealing with your feelings allows you to blow the doors off of your life and accomplish anything. I know that there are some skeptics out there that aren't believing me that this is not really it, but stick with me. I expect by the end of this podcast, I will have poked some holes in your skeptical shell because feelings really do drive all of your actions. So let's talk. Where do feelings come from? So for those of you who maybe this is your first podcast that you've listened to, or you haven't ever coached with me, I coach from a concept I call the model, the self-coaching model. I was taught this when I went through my life coaching and weight coaching certification course. So the self-coaching model is a model that kind of gives you a backbone to hang all of your issues on, right? All those circumstances where you get really tied up about. If you want more information about this, go to podcast number 3. I go through all of the thought model in that podcast. But basically, if you've listened to that, you realize that all of our feelings come from our thoughts. Every single one of them. The reason that you know that this is true, that it's your thoughts and not whatever's going on in your life, is because not everybody responds to the same exact situation in the same way, right? So we want to believe that what's happening in our life, the circumstances, the fact that a bill came in, the fact that my dog died, whatever it is, that that's what's causing me to feel badly, where the fact of the matter is, it has nothing to do with those circumstances. It is always having to do with your thought, right? A $3,000 bill coming in for one person versus another person means something. The thoughts about that bill are very different. If you've planned for that bill and you have the $3,000 hold away, you're not stressed out about it. You're like, yep, I knew that was coming. I'm going to pay my bill. If you get an unexpected $3,000 bill that you weren't planning for, then suddenly you have some stress in your life about how you're going to manage and how you're going to get the money together to pay that bill. The same circumstance, very different thoughts about it lead to very different feelings. We all, so this is my personal example. Anybody who's ever driven in the car, you understand this is real. My husband edits these podcasts, so he's going to list off at least 20 different examples of this in the last week for me. We all know that person who never gets hot when somebody cuts them off in traffic. They just go with the flow. Meanwhile, I'm the person who's over in another car rearranging F-bombs to appropriately express my irritation with whoever cut me off. Okay. It's the same situation. The difference is our thoughts. Me, the F-bomb hurler, I think that it's rude to cut people off in traffic. It is evidence that no one has taught you any better, and I had better pick up the slack in your miseducation. That is my thought process when this happens. Whereas the calm, cool, collected person understands that sometimes people just do this in traffic. There's no shame in it. Sometimes people are distracted. They forget where they need to get off on an exit. Heck, sometimes even I forget. It happens. It's the same scenario, but very different thoughts. These variations in thoughts lead to very different feelings. I feel hot, angry, frustrated, irritated, possibly even disrespected, depending on how particularly self-righteous I am that day, versus the calm, cool, collected cat. He feels, well, calm, cool, and collected. What a lucky dog, right? He gets to sit there and just go through his day unaffected by some random person. Whereas me, it's going to take me 5 minutes for my blood pressure to come down, right? So lots of people do not want to believe that this is the way our feelings work, but it is always the way our feelings work. So if you're feeling particularly bad about a situation and you really can't see where your thoughts are the problem, please send me an email. Send it to Delaine at DelaneMD.com and I'll work through it with you because it's always your thoughts, I promise. Now, before you start thinking this is a bunch of baloney and this is not the way it is, recognize that this is the best news ever, because you can change your thoughts. You can filter your thoughts. You can do something about your thoughts. If it's just the circumstances leading to your feelings, then you are condemned to suffering feelings all the rest of your life because you can't control the circumstances always in your life. The things you can control are your thoughts. This is the key to the universe, my friends. This is where we get to take control of our lives. So what do our feelings do? Now that we've realized that thoughts are what cause our feelings, what do our feelings do? Our feelings drive all of our actions. Every one of our actions are driven by a feeling. If you feel challenged, if you feel like, oh, I'm going to take this on, I'm going to get it done, you look for solutions. You execute the solutions you find and you accomplish a task. If you feel courage, you look past your worries and your fears, you move towards a goal, you achieve something you may not have known was even possible for you. If you feel fear, you run and hide, as that is what the human animal does when it's afraid. If you feel anger, you lash out at people. Sometimes you lash out at those you love. Sometimes you lash out at complete strangers looking like a total psychopath driving in your car because somebody cut you off in traffic. This is just how it works. All of our feelings drive our actions. And this is why it's so important to learn how to intentionally feel, to learn how to have intentional emotions. Now, I'm not saying all feelings should be amazing, okay? I don't want to always feel fabulous. Sometimes I want to feel sad or disappointed or angry. But if that is what you're feeling, if you're getting a negative emotion, make sure that negative emotion is serving your greater self and not just wallowing in a feeling that doesn't serve your greater being, your goals, and what you need in life. So how can we do this differently? I always talk about filtering your thoughts. I always use the example. If you've ever coached with me, I'm sure you've heard me use this example. I always talk about, I want different things. I have different thoughts. So there was a night where my son was having a coughing fit. And he was sick and he has asthma. And so he uses albuterol frequently. So he was sick one day with a cold and I could hear him coughing in the middle of the night. He has his albuterol at his bedside. So he knows how to use it. And most of the time he does use it, but not always. So I heard him coughing and I woke up and it was like 2 o'clock in the morning and I just wanted to sleep. I did not want to get up with him and help him get his albuterol and take care of this cough. So I heard him cough again and I thought, man, what if he's really sick? What if he really needs me? So I had two thoughts. I had two desires, two wants, right? One want was I really want to stay in bed. The other want was I really don't want my kid to die of an asthma attack, right? Those were both organically real thoughts to me. I really did want to stay in bed and go back to sleep. And I really do love my son and don't want him to die of an asthma attack. I filtered the thought that was more important to me, right? I filtered to upregulate to hear that thought that was more important to me, which was, of course, that I didn't want my son to die of an asthma attack. So I got my tail out of bed and I went and helped my son get a breathing treatment and he went to bed and everybody slept better. This is what I mean by filtering your thoughts. You can have same thoughts, right? You can have two thoughts and they can be totally counteracting one another. So when I'm driving in my car and somebody cuts me off, I do really truly think that's rude. But I can also have the thought that sometimes I've cut people off. And sometimes that happens and we just forget or get sidetracked and we miss our exit and they need to get over quickly. In the end, when I'm angry about the person cutting me off, I have to feel the anger. When I tell myself, oh, this happens sometimes, I do this sometimes, sometimes we miss our exit, sometimes there's other things going on in our heads, I feel better. So if I can filter to that thought that I get to feel better with, then I get to win. If you're having a thought that feels bad, look for something else that feels real to you, but not as badly. And also remember, when you're having an intense feeling evoked from a circumstance, so something happens and somebody says something to you maybe, and you have a really intense feeling that comes from that, I want you to always question and look and see, where do I believe that to be true? Is there something in that statement that I believe is true in my life? So, and why you want to do that is because that's really where your work is. And we're going to come back to this here in a little bit. I want you to also recognize that when you're doing this differently, when you're starting to choose different thoughts that serve you, when you're starting to filter those thoughts, this is not turning to Pollyanna thinking. This is not turning to what only feels good. I don't want you to only focus on every driver's fabulous and it's all wonderfuls and rainbows and daisies. That's not what I'm talking about because that doesn't feel real. Right? I really do think you're rude if you're just cutting me off and not paying attention. Okay? But it feels more real to me for me to say, yeah, I've done this too. Sometimes I get distracted when I'm driving or I forget that I need to get off on a certain exit and I've got to get in front of people. And sometimes I do it too. That feels better to me. So recognizing what's real and not real to you. This is not what's real in the universe and not real in the universe. This is what's real or not real to you. All of your thoughts are not going to feel real, right? All thoughts are, you can come up with this Pollyanna thinking, but it's not going to feel real to you. You have to find something that feels real to you. So I'm going to use an example about my stepdaughter and toilet paper. And My stepdaughter sometimes, she tells me she intermittently listens to these. I don't know if that's true or not, but if she does, I want her to know how grateful I am that she knows that I use this example and she tolerates it and doesn't like make me really nasty Christmas presents or anything. When I first started living with my husband, when our families merged and we kind of blended together, my stepdaughters were teenagers. And one was probably when she was 16 when I started really doing this work with her on my thoughts about her. But she would not replace the toilet paper roll. She just wouldn't do it. Like, I tried, you know, the initial being a total raving nightmare step monster to try to get her to do it. That didn't work. Big shocker there. I tried to just then be angry about it all the time. Every time that I had to go get a roll of toilet paper, I tried to be angry about it. That, of course, made me miserable and unhappy. And, of course, during this time was when I really started doing life coaching work with my own coach and starting to see, okay, that I'm probably the problem here. I knew I was the problem. It sure would have been easier had she just started putting new toilet paper in there. Then I wouldn't have had to do the work. But then I wouldn't have this fabulous example for you, which in the end is really entertaining to me and still makes me laugh. So I tried all sorts of things from, she just doesn't care about the toilet paper, right? It's just not important to her. That didn't feel real to me. I tried feelings or thoughts like, well, it's okay. Some people just don't remember the toilet paper roll. That also did not feel real or relevant to me. There was no organic realness that came with that for me. What I finally ended up settling on was she was a 17-year-old kid that had a lot of other things on her mind. And she is not trying to subversively and passive-aggressively make my life a living hell with toilet paper. If that was really her goal in life, she would be using some other bigger, better, brighter way of doing that to make my life a living hell. And of course, I still chuckle at that. Oh, she's not being passive-aggressive with toilet paper. That's ridiculous. So it took a long time, though, for me to work through different thoughts so that I could find something that didn't make me feel mad and angry, but that felt real to me. So be patient with yourself as you start to look for these different thoughts and recognize it might take time for you. So I want to talk about some examples in my own life, not just, you know, the toilet paper roll, but also examples that some of my clients have come to me with. So one example is when husbands or significant others say things that hurt your feelings. So here's what I'm going to offer to you. Nobody ever hurts your feelings, ever. You hurt your feelings. Your thoughts about what somebody says to you leads to your feelings. So when your feelings are quote unquote hurt, it's because of your thoughts. So first, when somebody says something to you that hurts your feelings, I want you to stop and look. Where is the truth to this? Because most of the time when you have that really strong emotion that comes along with it, there is something you believe about what they've said. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing, how do you want to look at it? That's the second question. So if there's truth to what they've said, then that's where you have work to do. That's where you need to work. That's the stuff you need to work on. File that away, journal about it, decide how you want to handle that truth and where you want to make changes in your life. But then decide how you want to look at what they've said. So even with the most awful examples, my husband said, I look fat. And I feel disrespected and unloved and horrible. I want you to hold the phone right there. One, your feelings come from your thoughts. So your husband said words, and maybe the words were, you really look fat right now. Your thought is, I cannot believe he said that. That might be one of them. Your thought might be, he must not love me as much as he used to because I'm not as attractive to him as I used to be when I'm this heavy. Your thought might be, my God, what a jerk. Who did I marry that he would say this to me? All of these thoughts are very reasonable thoughts to have for that circumstance. But your thought could also be, I wonder what he's going through today that makes him think that he needs to lash out at me that way. I wonder what's going on with him right now because that's not like him. My husband loves me. My husband's always treated me well. And even when he's put on weight, I've never said that he's not attractive. He knows that I love him and he knows I love our family. So I wonder what's going on with him today that he's said that. If you think all of these other things, he must not be attracted to me. I can't believe he said that to me. I married a total jerk. you're going to feel badly. You're not you. That's where your feelings get hurt. You feel badly because that's where your thoughts were. If you ask yourself, I wonder what's going on for him. I wonder if he's had a bad day. He usually doesn't behave like this. He knows I love us and our family. He loves our family too. I know he does because I've seen all these things happen. And, you know, he supports us. He's always there for us. If you start having those thoughts to kind of figure out why he's acted that way, you feel suddenly curious. You feel some compassion for your husband because we all have bad days. And then, of course, your actions are vastly different, right? When your husband says something nasty and you think, oh my God, what a jerk, who did I marry? And you feel bad, you feel hurt, you feel trapped, you feel discouraged, you feel whatever. Your actions are typically to run and hide, right? You don't want to be around that person. And then, of course, what you're creating is this marriage of disconnection, this marriage of not being present, this relationship where you're not really finding out what's going on that's making him maybe hurt to act this way. You disconnect. And then, of course, you prove evidence that your marriage is falling apart. That's why he said such horrible things, right? Versus when you have this other questioning, gosh, why did he say this? I wonder what's going on for him. This isn't all the evidence that I have about our relationship. Then you feel compassion. You feel curious. Your action then is say, hey, what's going on? Do you want to talk? Is there something going on for you? You usually don't talk to me like that. That was really startling. Can I help? And suddenly you create an intimate connection with your spouse, right? What could have been the, you know, implosion of your personal self-esteem because of what he said turns into something that serves both of your needs. You create some intimacy and some connection for both of you. Another example of this is when our kids behave badly. Maybe our kids say something to us that we think is disrespectful in front of their friends. Okay. So kid says, I didn't clean my room because I don't have to clean my room in front of their friends. Initially, your thought, that's the circumstance, right? That's what the kid said. Everybody heard it. You can record it. Everybody can see that. So initially, your thoughts might be, the nerve, I've obviously failed. My kid's a horrible kid and I'm a horrible parent. And you feel badly. And then, of course, you act badly towards your kids. You go over and, like, you get in here in front of their friends and you pitch a big fit and you make a big scene. And then you really do kind of look like the worst parent in the world. And all their friends are like, man, your mom's a psycho, right? That's the result you get. You get this result of supporting these thoughts that you had. I must be the worst parent ever. My kid's talking bad to me because I'm a bad parent. You have all this evidence now to support those thoughts. Versus, my kid said something to me negative. I wonder what's going on with her that she thinks she needs to act like that in front of her friends. I think I need to have a talk with her so that she knows that that's not okay. I know she's doing this because she wants to feel like really cool in front of her friends. I need to have a discussion with her about where self-esteem really comes from and talk with her that being nasty to others does not make you cool to your friends. All of these thoughts, just as true, but just have a more productive feeling and action that goes with them, right? When I think those thoughts, I suddenly feel challenged to get out there and do a better job with my kids, right? To tell my kid, oh, I've fallen here. I haven't done my job in teaching you how to behave in these situations. Let's take a step back and do a better job here. That's the action that comes from this feeling of kind of curiosity or being challenged or even determined that I'm a good mom and this is how I show up to be a good mom. Okay. So another example would be when a coworker claims that you do subpar work. They say, you know, you did a really bad job on this project and that is not the job we do here. And I can't believe you did that. Your feeling again might be initially to be very, very reactive, very emotional in the way you respond to this. So recognizing that first, again, you have to see where you feel any truth is in what they say. If you didn't put your 100% full work, full effort into the project, then maybe there is some truth to what they say. And then again, that's work that you have to do. But if you did, then you don't have to feel bad, right? I know for me, I always put 100% into my work. I always put 100% into the jobs that I do. So when somebody comes to me and they claim that I've done subpar work, either we have a difference in what the definition of subpar work is, and that's fine. They can totally have their definition and I can have my definition, but I don't make it mean anything about me. I don't take any of that on as my identity, right? So if somebody says you did subpar work, you need to, one, find out if you feel there's any truth in that. And if you don't feel there's any truth in that, you can always ask them and say, hey, what are you talking about? Where are you seeing this? And if they give you examples, then you can be, you know, take that information and reformulate your evaluation and make changes where you need to. But you don't have to take it to mean anything positive or negative about you. It can just be what they said. So many times, though, a coworker says something, you did subpar work. Our thought is, oh my God, I can't believe they don't recognize all that I do for this company. I can't believe that they don't realize everything that I do. I must need to do more. And your feeling is hurt or undervalued. And your action then usually is to avoid, right? You feel hurt, you feel undervalued, so you don't want them to see what you're doing because you don't want them to judge you anymore. And of course, then what you do is you produce evidence that they aren't seeing you do anything, and they probably do think your work is subpar, right? So this is where the feeling work is so important. It always comes this way. Your thoughts always lead to your feelings, which always give you your actions. You can hold on to these things, these thoughts that you're having as being true in the way it has to be. You can't have it any other way. But in the end, you are the one that suffers with this. Nobody else suffers with this. Your spouse doesn't suffer. Maybe they feel badly once they realize they hurt you, but they aren't feeling degraded and they aren't feeling bad because of what they said. You are. Maybe your daughter who said something nasty, she's not feeling, oh my God, I'm such a disrespectful kid. You're the one feeling badly about it. When your coworker says something that you don't like, the coworker's never feeling badly about that. You're the one that has to suffer through it. So in the end, if you want to hold on to your feelings as being what has to be in the way you have to feel, you can totally do that. But recognize then that you're responsible for those feelings. Nobody else is responsible for those feelings. I want to give you one last example because I think it's a great explanation of how your feelings are totally driven by the thoughts that you have about whatever's going on. So if somebody comes up to me and tells me that my purple hair looks so stupid, it's just the worst. I can't even believe your hair is purple and looks like that. I have absolutely no emotion from this. None whatsoever. Why is that? Because my freaking hair isn't purple. It's that simple. When I have absolutely no belief in the words being said to me, it's so easy not to be emotive to them, not to be emotionally charged by them. And this is why it's so important to ask, do I really believe any part of what's being said? You believe the things that your husband are saying to you that makes you feel degraded. If you do, then you need to work on that. That's where your work is. You need to start looking at evidence in your life for where it's just not the case and start filtering to that evidence. If you believe that you truly are the worst mother ever, like your daughter has made you feel or told you or acted, then that is where your work is. Where you are seeing evidence to the contrary, that is what you need to find. Why are you choosing to focus on the negative story versus the loads of positive evidence and evidence to the contrary of the negative story? That is your work. This is also likely the reason that you are overeating or eating foods that make you ill with diabetes. So this is truly where your work comes in. This is why this work is so important. If there is something true about what's being said to you when you ask that initial question, first, do I believe it's true? If that's real and you do believe that there is some truth to it, then you get to change it. But a specific piece of evidence that you did something bad does not overshadow a lifetime of stellar work that you've been doing, okay? So you can up-level all of those things that you're doing, but the fact is that you get to choose to believe whatever story you want. You can believe all the negative stories, or you can believe the abundance of positive stories. It's likely that this, though, is at the core of why you're choosing to eat foods that make you physically ill. So this is why feelings work is so important. I understand that this is hard work. This is difficult work. This is certainly where coaching helps. If that's something you're interested in, send an email to Delaine at DelaneMD.com, set up a consult, get you the help that you need to blow the doors off your life, off of everything that's held you back, and start living your naturally healthy life. I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe and share with your friends and family. Also, leave me a review. If you want to resolve your diabetes naturally without any pills or injections, I can help you. Visit DelaneMD.com for more information. Click on the Work With Me tab, send me a message, and we can set up a mini coaching session. You guys have a great week. I'll talk to you soon.